HM at the Big M. Question: who has hair that looks electrified? A face that looks as though it's doing isometric exercises? It's a lady. How did she get that way? Well, Phyllis Diller will tell how in just a few minutes. By the Johnny Mann Singers.
You think you're a prize, and then you see the light. Those better ideas come forward. Those better ideas come forward. See the light, see the light, see the light.
Now's the time to see the light, because there's never been a better time to buy the original success car, Mustang. Right now, for a limited time only, there are two new low-priced Mustang Sprints. One with special wheel covers, pop-open gas cap, and sporty C-stripe. The other has all that, plus wide oval tires, styled steel wheels, and fog lamps. See these low-priced Mustang Sprints and see why. The switch is on to Ford.
Those better ideas.
Phyllis Diller is virtually the only female comic who has survived and prospered on the nightclub circuit. And before she went public, she was the darling of the laundromat set. Her success along the way was spurred by some rather fortuitous events, and she'll talk about that in this interview with Monitor reporter Frank Knight.
Phyllis, I know 12 years ago you were just a plain, ordinary housewife before you became the professional that you are today. It must have been a lot of fun with the housewives coming over to your house, participating in coffee clutches, was it?
The other housewives on the block, and believe me, it was a little stucco house in Alameda, California, and I was the mother of five children. They had bicycles and tricycles, just like all the other kids. And it must have been a great shock to these other mothers that a lady on that block every night at 8 got in a car, drove to San Francisco, and went out and did a nightclub act. I know, it was a great shock to them. However, I had already become established as a housewife, but I have no idea what they thought in their minds. I've seen them all in the meantime. They've followed me around and showed up at places where it's been, you know, like the big time. Like, whenever I get near the area, they will come to Lake Tahoe, and I see my old neighbors. In fact, I see somebody with whom we left our dog, Wags. Dear old rotten dog. And I'll never forget Dorothy Hagen, next door, who is really the closest to Mrs. Clean that I could imagine. I always lived next door to Mrs. Clean. And Dorothy Hagen is probably the world's greatest housekeeper. And we left a dog with her, and this is the cleanest dog in America. There's not a flea on that dog. My kids have fleas. And she comes and visits me when we're in the area. And when I go to, say, Michigan, Mrs. Clean, who lived downstairs from me there, comes and visits. And it's a funny thing. I forget how I used to be. And she tells me that the cat was up on the table eating the turkey torso. And she didn't know whether to tell Fang or not. You know what I mean? I had gone down probably to Ohio to have a baby or something. I never move unless it's important.
Phyllis Diller, every comedian or comedienne has a trademark. You certainly have yours. How did they evolve?
Some of them were on purpose. From the first moment I walked out, I had the cigarette holder. Now, I didn't know why at the time. It was simply a framework for another kind of person to say flippant things, you know. And it gave me an excuse to hold one hand up. Now, when you want to stop somebody, you hold one hand up. You want to flag a train, you hold one hand up, right? Gave me an excuse because I have a cigarette holder in my hand. All right. Now, it was years later when I found out how to use the cigarette holder. In the meantime, I've used it as chopsticks, as punctuation marks, to show hostility, to drop imaginary ashes, or to toy with it while the audience is laughing, and I give them the relief of not engaging their attention. I look at that thing. Then the other trademark was the hair. Now, that was an accident much later when I started getting a terrible problem with my hair from bleaching. I went to a scalp clinic, and they gave me a curry brush, and they said to lean over and brush my hair up. Well, I was so busy that I would brush my hair up and then go right on stage, and it became my hairdo. Incredible?
As simple as that.
Accident.
Phyllis Diller, it's been a delightful accident to find you in front of our microphone today. Good luck to you and your one-woman show.
But, of course, Phyllis Diller doesn't have a one-woman show. She is one. The only woman in the world who curries her hair. And now you know her secret. Count on us, folks, for some marvelous revelations. All you have to do is hang around the monitor beacon. We are back. We got monitor music for you. Beep. By a group called the Irish Rovers. Boop.
Long time ago, when the earth was green, and there was more kinds of animals than you'd ever seen, they'd run around free when the earth was being born. But the loveliest of them all was the unicorn.
Hi, this is Dan Rowan.
And I'm Dick Martin.
You like riddles?
I love them.
You know any?
Sure. What's real small and furry, has a tail, and is real cuddly and goes meow?
A cat.
Boy, you get around, don't you?
There was green alligators and lonely geese, some Humpty Vikings and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, the loveliest of all was the unicorn.
What's a small and furry and cuddly, has a tail and goes woof woof?
It's a dog.
You know them all.
God seen some sinning, and it gave him pain. And he says, stand back, I'm going to make it rain. He says, hey, brother Noah, I'll tell you what to do. Build me a floating and take some of them green alligators and long-neck geese. Some Humpty Dichotomas and some chimpanzees. Some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget my unicorn.
What's kind of large and has horns and is brown and white and gives milk?
A cow.
Boy, I don't know. I guess can't stump you on any of them.
Old Noah was there to answer the call. He finished up making the ark just as the rain started falling. He marched in the animals two by two. And he called out as they went through, "Hey, Lord, I got you green alligators and long-necked geese, some Humpty Dichotomas and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but Lord, I'm so forlorn, I just can't see no unicorn." Then Noah looked out through the driving rain. Them unicorns were hiding, playing silly games, kicking and splashing while the rain was pouring. All them silly unicorns, whose green alligators and long-necked geese, some Humpty Dichotomas and some chimpanzees. Noah cried, "Close the door, cause the rain is pouring. We just can't wait for no unicorn." The ark started moving, it drifted with the tide. Then unicorns looked up on the rocks and they cried. And the waters came down and sort of floated them away. And that's why you never seen a unicorn till this very day. You'll see green alligators and long-necked geese, some Humpty Dichotomas and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, you're never gonna see no unicorn.
Hey, that Rowan and Martin, huh? They should have a show of their own on some other network. All right, Rowan and Martin, what has the body and head of a horse, the hind legs of a stag, and the tail of a lion, and has a single horn in the middle of the forehead? What do you know? In about 20 minutes, more from Rowan and Martin. More? Well, about 10 minutes worth from a show they gave here in New York this week at the Waldorf. Right now, Dino.
Turns his back on you, you still got a place in my heart.
Miller Sports, brought to you by State Farm Mutual, the car... Oh, dear. The car. Well, I tell you, they insure cars. They're the world's largest car insurance company. In 1 minute, a chat with Carl Yastrzemski. First this from State Farm.
Hi, I'm Phil Fawcett. In the middle of my nightclub act, the guy yells out, "Hey, aren't you the Fawcett that's on radio for State Farm Mutual talking about low car insurance rates and fast claim service?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You got State Farm car insurance?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You got a red and white bumper sticker on the back?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Turn around. Let's see it." Well, wouldn't you know, that was the night I wasn't wearing it.
For your car and your home and your life. State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
Baseball's Triple Crown winner, Carl Yastrzemski. Some comments from the man himself on his life, past, present, and future, in this interview with Kurt Gowdy.
Carl, you've had a very busy winter. There's been a lot of publicity about your tough schedule and all the money you're making on side ventures. And first of all, what about your schedule?
It's been very tough, Kurt. The only money which I am making on the side comes from Licensing Corporation of America. These are the people that have handled Batman, Superman, James Bond, and so forth. They're coming out with different lines such as slacks, T-shirts, sweaters, pencils, school supplies of all sorts and things of this nature. And also I'm making a few commercials. This is the only endorsements which I'm making money from. And this is great because it's all honest, and this is the way it should be.
How many years do you think you have now? You're 28 now, right?
27, Kirby.
27. What do you think your future is in baseball? You think you could ever duplicate a year like you had this past season, or could you be even better?
Well, Kurt, of course I'm looking forward to duplicating my year and even having a better year. But there again, it all relies on the luck and my teammates. With Andrews and Foyes getting on base, I'll have the opportunity to drive in a lot of runs. With Scott and Caniglio hitting behind me, I'll have more pitches to hit at. You can't do it alone in this game, Kurt, so it's a team effort, and I'll only be as good as my team will be next year.
Carl Yastrzemski, Frank Robinson, was quoted, the Baltimore Star, that he doubted if you were that good or that you were good enough to have again the year you had last year, and he also didn't think the Boston Red Sox were that good to win another pennant. What was your reaction to his comments?
Well, of course, I was a little surprised, and I shouldn't say surprised because Frank has been known to pop off a bit, and he made a statement one time in Baltimore, I think our last trip in, he said the only ball player that he was jealous of was Carl Yastrzemski. But I was very disappointed he knocked the Boston Red Sox team, but yet happy. Because when our writers' dinner, the whole ball club was upset, and I think this is good because maybe the ball club was a little complacent after winning the pennant. And my ball players and teammates wanted me to go up and really rip into Frank, and I said, no. I said, the only place you can do it is on the field. So Frank Robinson wasn't pop off fine.
You ever think when you were a boy working hard on your dad's potato farm in Long Island that someday you would be in the White House talking with the President of the United States?
No, I didn't, Kurt, because this is a great thrill to me, but there again, it shows that even though you come from a poor family, my parents had to work hard for a living, neither one of my mother or dad could finish an education because during the Depression they had to work to survive. It just proves that what a great country the United States is if you want to work at it. If you want things handed to you, you're not going to reach success. You probably won't get ahead.
And that's Carl Yastrzemski of the Boston Red Sox. This is Kurt Gowdy for Monitor Sports.
Make this your spot for sports every weekend. Monitor.
Nationwide, it's NBC.
Thank you. That's titled Fred, and we understand it was written for Fred Astaire, the orchestra and saxophone of Boots Randolph. More Monitor coming up after a short break. In Safford, Arizona, we're heard on KATO. This is Mr. Morgan.
It's Sakatumi time on Monitor with Rowan and Martin coming up on NBC Radio.
Monitor New York, your weekend sound on WNBC New York.
Care enough to make an impossible dream come true for someone unwanted and unloved? Show it. Give now to the New York Catholic Charities. Prepare a casserole for tomorrow's supper now. Why? Macy's store-wide spring sale starts tomorrow. Sales, sales, and more sales. Just in time for spring. It starts tomorrow at Macy's. It's 3:30. Joe Harnell in this five-minute set of Monitor Music, Spanish Eyes. Anita Harris, Comes the Night.
Here comes the night to stir like an ember all the lonely hours of regret. Here comes the night. I have tried to forget. wonder. Here comes the night. Here comes the night. Here comes the
go north or south, go east or west. Just get in your car and you'll head for the best. Wherever you are, you'll find water on NBC.
Wherever you are, whoever you are, you've got to know who Rowan and Martin are. Well, you don't gotta, but 10 minutes from now, they're going to be with us for 10 minutes. As for this being St. Patrick's Day, I recall something written by Dr. Johnson, Dr. Sam Johnson. The Irish, he said, are a fair people. They never speak well of one another. Ho, ho, Don Ho.
By the deep blue pearly water, watch a bone right to the sand. There on the brink of love I kissed her, and a man, a man, where the deep blue pearly water wash upon right to the sand. We watch the sun set in the evening in a far and distant land. So here beneath God's blue heaven, there's a place I must go to see the sun set in the evening. The one I know, where the deep blue pearly water, wash upon,
wash upon,
right till the
sand,
there on the brink,
on the brink
of love I kissed her,
love I kissed her,
and obey,
obey,
my heart's a man,
heart's a man.
So here we need God's blue heaven.
There's a place I must go,
see the sun set in the evening, with the old, the old man, where the deep and pearly water wash upon white sand.
Monitors ring around the world. Close-ups of people and events here and abroad. Brought to you by State Farm Fire and Casualty, the world's largest homeowners insurance company. In 1 minute, a report from London on how the future prosperity of Britain will be affected by this weekend's meeting in Washington on the gold crisis. First, this from State Farm.
This is Al Cap for the defense of the roller skate. All roller skates aren't bad. There are good skates, you know. But it's always the roller skate that massacres the mailman or sends the meter reader reeling. What about the garden hose? What about the dog that wakes up biting? Well, whether it's the roller skate or the garden hose, your best protection is a homeowner's policy from State Farm Fire and Casualty, in case the mailman or the meter reader want to meet you again in court. It'll protect your house and your possessions, too, in case of fire and theft and other such nastiness, and all at one low package price. Good idea? then phone your State Farm agent about his homeowner's policy right now and watch out for that blasted roller skate in the hall.
For your home and your car and your life. State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
Now, David Weber, NBC News, London.
This will be the most important weekend that many of us are likely to live through. Our future prosperity rests with Washington. These are the opening words of the main editorial article in this morning's Observer, a newspaper that's famous for its sober and calm approach to world events. When the Observer gets nervous, other British newspapers are somewhere near hysteria. The general European anxiety over what the central bankers decide in their Washington meeting today is just that much greater here in London. This is the world marketplace for gold. But far more important, the British pound sterling is totally tied to the American dollar as the other reserve currency used by the world. So whatever happens to gold and the dollar will inevitably affect the pound, even though the pound should be the healthiest currency in the world because of its devaluation just 4 months ago. All the experts here in London are predicting that the United States will be forced into a two-tiered gold standard. With the old $35 ounce prevailing for central banks, and with the rest floating free as speculators see fit. The experts here predict that if this happens, the free price of gold will go up immediately to about $45 an ounce and then creep on up to $60 or $70, which would be exactly double the pegged price. For most British taxpayers, the dramatic and all but incomprehensible developments of this crisis weekend spell nothing but immediate trouble. For them, Tuesday is the dreaded day of reckoning because that's when the Chancellor of the Exchequer announces the new budget. It's expected to be a tough budget with higher direct and indirect taxation and much tighter conditions for installment buying. Some sort of higher wealth tax may be in the works, and for everybody, higher taxes on whiskey, gasoline, and tobacco. Nobody is looking forward to the budget message on Tuesday. It just can't be anything but bad. David Weber, NBC News, London.
Ring Around the World, another in Monitor's series of close-ups of people and events here and abroad.
You think you're a guy, and then you see the light. The better ideas come forward. The better ideas come forward. See the light. See the light. See the light.
See the light. See the car that's quiet, strong, beautiful, the 68 Ford. Only Ford in its class offers better ideas like kitten headlights and die-cast grills at no extra cost on LTDs, XLs, and Country Squire wagons. Only Ford offers you fastbacks at the same price as formal hardtops. Check your Ford dealer. You'll see why the switch is on to Ford.
Teaching me now, so someday soon you could get to use me. somehow. I thank you very much, you know you've been very kind. But I'd better move along before you change my mind. It's a strange, strange world we live in, Master Jack. No hard feelings if I never come back. It's a very strange world and I thank you, Master Jack. You taught me all the things the way you'd like them to be. But I'd like to see other people with me. It's all very interesting the way you disguise. But I'd like to see the world through my own eyes. It's a strange, strange world we live in, Master Jack. No hard feelings if I never come back. You're a very strange man and I thank you, Master Jack. You're a very strange man, and I thank you, Master Jack. You're a very strange man, aren't you, Master Jack?
Big hit from South Africa, Master Jack, by Four Jacks and a Jill.
Deep in step with my.
In a minute or so, Rowan and Martin on the Monitor Beacon. That very large comedy team, Rowan and Martin, appeared in New York this week at an award banquet given by the International Radio and Television Society. Dan and Dick really socked it to them, and we have part of their show for you right now.
I imagine being interviewed on television is sort of an old thing for you.
No, first time for me.
Well, never been on the air before?
No, first time.
Oh, well, it's a pleasure to have you making your debut on our show.
Well, thank you very much.
And incidentally, you'll be able to see this show.
How on earth?
Well, we're taping the show, you see. We're generally on live, but tonight we're taping. We're going to get a few shows in the can so that the whole group can...
We're not going to do it here?
Oh, yes, yes. We're going to tape a few shows in advance, see, so that we can all take a little sabbatical and get out there on the old trout street.
You look just like you do on television.
Yes, amazing. Yes, thank you. You look fine yourself.
Thank
now, you'll notice we work this show with three cameras.
Three cameras.
When we get on the air, incidentally, you see this glass booth over here on the right? See the glass booth fellow behind there? Well, that's our director and sound man are there in there, and they're monitoring from inside, see? Not looking right, and he'll give us a little signal from time to time and let us know when we're on.
My golly, this is very exciting for me. I'd just like to say that.
Well, I have to say to you, certainly don't strike me as a first-timer.
You're
just so relaxed.
Very kind, thank you. I don't get to be on television.
That's right. You know, some people get uptight. They get scared to death, a lot of them. Well, I don't know what it is. Some of them right at the last second, I guess. They look out those cameras and they start thinking of the 75, 80 million people going to be staring at them, and they just get a little nervous about them. Glad it doesn't bother you. Okay, now we're just a second or two. We'll get a little signal, and we'll start. You'll see a little red light. Good evening and welcome once again to another special events interview. Tonight, we're certainly all excited at the prospect of chat. All right, cut it, Gordy. You see this spot here on the floor?
I didn't do it. I just got it.
No. No, that's my fault. I didn't tell you in the beginning. You're supposed to stay right there on that spot. See, you
stay here.
You left that spot and you just jumped right out of the frame of the picture.
Oh, I am sorry.
The cameras on this show are immobile.
They're where?
They're fixed.
I didn't know that.
No, they're stationary. They don't move. You have to stay right
you
there.
You said fixed. I was wondering.
Yeah, well, they're fixed in place.
I had my cat fixed a week ago Thursday.
Well, that's not the same thing, you see.
Old Terrible Tom, we used to call it.
So now
he'd go right through a screen door after him. Boom!
Now, we're going to have to get started.
He just sits in the bread box and stares at me now.
Look, we don't have a heck of a lot of time here, and I have to tell you now. So what you'll notice
we call him Sam Spade.
All right! Now, if you can just forget about that cat now, and just remember that we're trying to get a show tape. It's a good thing we're not on live tonight. We cut the tape there, and we'll start her all over again.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sound man's got his headset back on there, and this time when we start, I won't touch you on the shoulder. That seemed to have startled you.
No, it's just that I have a sunburn.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. That can be
got
painful.
Some of it up here and some of it down.
Yes, I know how uncomfortable sunburn can be, but I wonder if for the next few minutes you could just forget about it. Suppose you could just put it out of your mind, You gotta put something on it.
Well, I have Thousand Island dressing on it now. It's all I had handy.
For a sunburn?
Yeah, I threw it on there and that was it.
Well, let's hope it does the trick. Yeah, so I just
hope it doesn't get too warm.
Now, just forget about sunburn, and also let's forget about that cat. I don't want to hear any more about it. As a matter of fact, for the rest of the evening, you don't have a cat. You've never seen it. You don't know what a cat is, okay? All right.
I got a furry loaf of bread in the bread box.
All right, now we're ready to crank it up again. Here we go. Good evening and welcome again to another special events interview. Tonight, we're certainly delighted at the prospect of chatting with one of the country's outstanding professional men. And I want you to know, Doctor, it's a pleasure to welcome you to our cameras and microphone here this evening.
Well, I wonder if you'd mind if I add to that what a great thrill, honor, privilege, and pleasure it is to be here and knowing that each time one of us could get together and finding that the new holes in the horizon of life have come through and feeling that these new ones that could overlap could come through and gain a new one.
Yes. All right. Just reading something about that Newsweek last week. But as I say, it is a pleasure, Doctor, to... You are a doctor.
Yes, a DM.
An MD.
MD.
An MD. You know, Doctor, in medicine today, so many men seem to be specializing.
Well, you almost have today. We were talking about that last Thursday down at the doctor place.
The hospital.
The hospital.
The hospital, yes. And how about you, sir? What's yours?
A little bourbon, if you have it. I don't drink much. But
no, Doctor, I mean, in what field do you operate?
Well, we don't operate in the field. We have a new building.
Some
of the older ladies complained of grass stains, so we moved right on
indoors. I'm simply trying to find out here, Doctor, what part of the human anatomy you most frequently handle. Do you?
Well, that's not a big item.
Cut the tape, Gordon. We're talking here, incidentally, when we get back in there, we're talking about medical specialties, Doctor. We got off on a little tangent
there. I'm terribly sorry.
You're not a GP.
No, I've been in this country all my life.
No. You're
born up around Butte, Montana.
No, I mean, Doctor, you're not in general practice.
No, I'm a surgeon.
Surgeon.
C-E-R-J-Y-N.
Yes. Well, we won't ask you to spell it when we get back on. Okay, Gordon, here we go. Doctor, what is your medical specialty?
I'm a surgeon.
You're a general surgeon?
Yes, I can.
You do general surgery?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Well, of course, we all know, Doctor, you don't operate alone.
No, we like to have a patient there.
Doctor, I mean to say that this is a job, this is a team effort. Modern surgery today is a real team effort.
Oh.
You're the captain of that team. You're the man that's in charge.
You can't
afford to make a single mistake.
Why not? Who's going to know?
What do you mean, who's going to know?
We all wear those little masks. Nobody knows who did it.
Oh, Doctor, we all know those masks are to keep you sterile. I wanted to ask you, Doctor, you know, so many times...
I didn't know that.
So many...
Where do you wear them?
All right, Doctor. Where do you wear them? For heaven's sake, you tie them around your ears. Now, I would imagine, Doctor, that speaking from the point of view of a man who has never before...
Well, I wouldn't take a chance on that if I were you.
Keep it going, Gordon. Yes. Doctor, you know there must be thousands of young men around the country.
Well, there must be. I see them on the streets all the time.
I meant watching our interview here
tonight. Oh, good.
Many of these young men are interested in medicine.
Well, good. We've got a lot of it we're trying to hustle.
They don't want to buy any medicine. I mean, they're interested in medicine as a future.
Oh, good.
And I know that you're a man who has been there. You just don't get to be a surgeon.
No, sir. You've got to study.
Long, hard period of training, isn't it, Doctor?
Certainly are.
But You seem to have whipped right through there, graduated with honors.
Thank you.
I understand you were magna cum laude.
Magna cum laude, yes, sir.
Well,
Class president. Made the valedictory.
The valedictory address. As a matter of fact, it was your valedictory address which first brought you to the attention, the general attention of the medical community because a motto that you included within the body of the address itself.
I believe that.
I understand that this is now so well known that doctors around the world have adopted it as their own motto. And
you're very kind.
Have it hanging there on the wall, and it must be very inspirational.
It must be.
Yes. And I wondered if tonight you'd pass that motto on to our television audience. It might help some of these young men studying medicine.
It would be my pleasure. The motto that has helped me through life and through school, and it goes, find the one that's nearest, and know that each time all of us have ever gone over and felt that the coming back was the necessary thing, we must feel that the sands and the footprints that are therein imprinted have found their way and known that these things are there because all of us have felt that the increase has been there, and knowing these things, we have come around to a circular and finding thing that has overwhelmed the newness that has worn off. These things that have happened have not only been there, but we have bounced one now and then. What did you ask me?
I can't remember.
Little cut there at the end, Gordon? Yes. How are you? We had to cut the tape just for a moment there. It was fascinating, Doctor.
You.
I'm sure there was something in there for almost everybody. when our film editors finish with that, you won't recognize it when it gets on the air. Now we're just about to wrap it up now.
I'd like to say what a real thrill it's been being here.
Here we go. Well, Doctor, I'd like to thank you very much on behalf of our sponsors for visiting with us tonight on Special Events Interview.
It's been my pleasure.
Well, it certainly has been
thank
most
you.
Enlightening and interesting. Next week, our guest is a man
I wonder
I know.
If you'd mind if I said something my great-grandmother once said to me.
I'm afraid we're out of time, Doctor.
Oh.
We're just about ready to...
She was caught in the steam bath at the Wolverine Hotel in Detroit, Michigan with three elks.
Yes. Well, thank you very much. Come on.
Rowan and Martin, from the International Radio and Television Society's Gold Medal Award Banquet in New York this week. Rowan and Martin's weekly laugh-in on Monday night is, of course, on NBC Television. Bob Crew Generation. News next. This is Morgan for Monitor.
The winners take the station break. Don't turn your set off. Don't you make a mistake. Don't leave us behind. There's still lots more time. With Monitor.
Louis Jourdan and Susan Strasberg star in Disorder, a drama set in Milan, on the Sunday Film Festival tonight at 11:30.
Judith Crist said, fine acting, all the facets of the corruption of society. Watch the New York television premiere of Disorder tonight at 11:30. 1 minute before 4 o'clock, dig out your most comfortable shoes now. Why? Macy's store-wide spring sale starts tomorrow. Sales, sales, and more sales just in time for spring. Starts tomorrow at Macy's.
Dr. Stanley, report to emergency. Dr. Stanley.
Well, Doctor, busy as you are, I see you're spending the weekend with the Air Force Reserve.
Yes, and I'm glad to do it. And even if it sounds different, I like the idea of doing something for my country.
Nothing different about that, Doctor. The Air Force Reserve really needs flight surgeons. Any doctor interested in joining the Reserve can get further information. Contact the nearest Air Force Reserve unit or the Reserve Affairs Officer at the nearest Air Force base.
Monitor New York, your weekend sound on WNBC New York.